Podcast, time for a podcast, time for the Metafilm Podcast. Josh Millard and Jessamyn West talk with somebody about the best of the web. The best of the web.
All right. Hey, welcome to episode 131 of Best of the Web, the Metafilter monthly podcast. I am Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
And I'm Jessamyn West, known as Jessamyn.
And we are recording this Friday morning server time on August the 4th, talking over the last month or so of site events and stuff.
Server time. Have you ever said that before?
No, I was just mixing it up. I was looking at the clock and realized we're in different time zones. I was saying morning. And
you know it's morning my
there.
Time also.
Well, I figured that out once I got in process on the sentence, but by then it was like it was picking up its own personality. It decided it wanted to be about specificity, so here we are. How are you?
Been a weird month for both of us. As I have mentioned in a couple places, my mom passed away, not surprisingly, but still, it's a mom thing, last month. And doing a bunch of stuff with my sister. I'm living in my childhood home for the month, planning a shit show of a life celebration for 150 former neighbors of my mother and a lot of people who haven't known me since I was 16 years old. But as these things go... it's actually going pretty well. The weather's been nice. I live really close to Jim. This house is fascinating and interesting. I get to spend a ton of time with my sister, who I adore. And I heard you on Metafilter now, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing that happened. I do now own the site. Matt had owned it for people who have not been paying close attention.
Who missed the banner, maybe who are under a rock for all
Well,
of
you
July.
Know, there's always like, you know, a certain, you hit a certain chunk of the site populace with any given thing, and then a lot of people don't catch that, so.
Right, or people were like, oh, I saw it on Twitter, or I saw it on Facebook, or it was on the Best of the Web blog, or,
Well, and, you know, I've got a couple notes from people saying, oh, wait, you didn't? And then there's occasionally, you know, the note from someone saying, wait, you run Metafilter now? And, you know, this is all...
Well, so you didn't, especially. Like, people were like, I thought, Matt, who? Which
So it's
always
like it's,
makes me laugh like hell, but, you know.
Everybody has a slightly different, like, level of awareness and correctness of their impression of what the state of things is, and that's fine, because you don't really need to know any of this stuff to read or hang out on Metafilter.
Right.
But yeah, Matt left for Slack back in early 2015, and I took over day-to-day operations at that point. And ever
but
since
then, he still owned it and occasionally could like make decisions, and all the money stuff was things, and all the stuff was in his name, and he could still be like, blah, 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 I own the filter.
Yeah, and it was sort of Matt's accountant and Matt's lawyer handling those stuff. And so now we have transferred ownership to me entirely. Matt has zero to do with any of the business anymore.
Is his email address still on the PayPal?
It is at the moment. PayPal is complicated.
You gotta tell me the truth, man. I'm your friend.
No, that's straight up. This is a PayPal issue. So his name is still on there because I can change and have changed every single administrative field and have full control over that account. But the part where they list a primary email, they don't want you to change that. So we're having to arm wrestle that much more complicatedly.
Wowee. Well, he can just set up a script at least so that all those emails go to you, right?
Yeah, and there's a couple things. Yeah, we've got that set up, and there's a couple things we can maybe tweak on the interface even to sort of root around that, but it's a little bit dicier, and we didn't want to do it like literally on the day that
people were starting to do stuff.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, I have that with one of the domains that I own. Like, I used to have a business name back in the day, and I wanted to change the business name because I don't have that business anymore, and my domain registrar is like, nope. You literally cannot do that. You can transfer the domain to like a different owner, and then I'm kind of just being a dingus because I have kind of a low user number name there, and I don't want to.
These are the compromises you got to wrestle with when you get in the nitty gritty on this stuff, it turns out.
Well, and then like dealing with my mom's stuff, right? I have basically a list that's like two single space pages of her passwords to fucking everything.
Yep.
But... Lord love that lady. She was concerned about, I don't even know. And so all of her passwords are written down in code? Code?
Just a simple cipher to slow down the thieves?
And she told me the code maybe a couple years ago, and I forgot the code. So I had to, like, break into her keychain on her computer to figure out some matching password from the print password list in order to figure out how to log into, you know, her bank or whatever and pay her bills.
So, like, you literally had to decrypt her encryption scheme on her password so that you could get at the password.
That makes
stuff.
It sound a lot smarter than what I actually did.
Well, but that's
did.
What it is. I mean, yeah. That's what it is. You used a known plain text to figure out what the cipher was?
Yeah, because her thing would be, like, number, and then, like, plus, 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 plus. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. She has four pluses in a row. I don't even think that would work. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, the pluses stand for something.
Yeah.
And I asked my sister. She's like, I don't, what? And, you know, meanwhile, I'm getting locked out of account after account because I'm trying to log in over and over again. Then I have to call people on the phone. People love those phone calls.
Oh, I bet.
Hi. Although I do have to say the Boston Globe takes the cake because I've been trying to cancel my mother's newspaper now for literally a week and a half since she passed. And they keep, like, escalating the issue, and the newspaper keeps showing up. And it's not a huge deal because I'm at the house, but eventually, like, a house with a pile of newspapers in front of it is not, you know, that's not really kosher. And they're just kind of like, who even knows these things? And I'm like, a human being drops off the paper. Like, it's the wet-wariest system. Give me the person's name. I will call them. But yeah. It's been a little challenging. And they're super nice. At least they don't have a nice day me like a lot of the other people do. Like, I'm like, oh, my mom died. I need to cancel the thing. Okay. Thank you so much for doing business with us. Have a nice day. And I'm like, I fucking won't. Worse now. But you got to have a sense of humor about it. GJ Kolchev has been an absolute prince. Just, whatever, talking through a lot of this stuff with me. But I don't know what you do with the Boston Globe. Put a little trash can in the front yard, newspapers here.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess it will take care of itself, and you just chuck out the issues that they kept delivering for some reason.
I've been kind of enjoying the phone calls, though. Look, her obituary is in the paper that you delivered to the empty house. Can you not?
Which
my mother would have fucking loved, because she loved this kind of stuff. We found a folder in her file cabinet that's literally called Bitchy Letters.
I saw that. I saw a picture you posted somewhere.
On my sister's Twitter, yeah. And it's not all bitchy letters. Some of them are nice, but sometimes it's like she emailed the principal of, like, our elementary school because the school nurse was mean to my sister and me and everybody, apparently, because somebody else's mom is on Twitter, and she's like, I always hated that school nurse. And we're like, yeah! Been very funny. So
that's gorgeous.
My mother would have appreciated it, but not everybody else does. You tell these jokes and people are like, I don't really
but,
think that's so funny. Which makes me miss my mom because she would have laughed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad it's been going well.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do, right?
Yeah.
Life moves on.
This is life. It proceeds. Segue, should we proceed to job?
Well, I was going to, tell you a little bit about the number 131.
Oh, yeah. What the heck?
Number 131 is actually... Oh, and then I found out my mother had private browsing turned on her computer. So I was like, why is everything broken? Why won't it keep my passwords?
Oh,
private
Jesus.
Browsing. Like she had something to hide. I don't even know. So 131 is a prime number, a full rep-tend prime, whatever the hell, and in
Jesus.
Base 2.
We probably talked about that at some point. I don't remember what.
We talked about reptend?
I think so. It may have come up previously at some point.
See, that reminds me of the word retcon, which you taught me.
Oh, yeah. Go
and
me.
And that talk you did at South by Southwest was
yeah.
So good. And it's the second three-digit palindromic prime, although I think calling 131 a palindrome is kind
it's
of...
I say as soon as you got three digits, it's a palindrome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a narrative at that point. It's a three-act structure. You've got 1-3-1. You know, it's like 1-1-1. That's kind of, but I don't know.
As long as there's something different.
I say, yeah. Three digits, and they're not all the same. At that point, I'm fully on board. It's not a big palindrome, but that's a palindrome. By gosh, it's not like saying, you know, what's a palindrome? 7. You know, it's I hate.
And
guys
it's also
who say that.
A Chen prime. There's all sorts of different kinds of primes, which is really interesting. to me.
Yeah, I'd buy that. I don't know a whole lot about the different kinds, but it seems like, you know, it's such an attractive, magical sort of field of numbers. I can see people going.
It's also, and you'll like this, it's an anagrammatic prime. So the digits can be switched to any permutation and they're all prime.
Really?
Yes.
See, yeah, I'm excited
See,
about that.
Now
that's
I've got
pretty
your
sweet.
Attention. 113 yeah. and 311.
Nice.
Isn't it?
That is very nice.
Isn't it?
See, now that I want an anagrammatic prime. I like the full Monty on that. I want it to have three separate digits. So you've got like six
sure.
permutations. But I'll accept this. This is pretty solid. Plus, one of the anagrammatic primes is 311, the best band ever.
What?
Nothing.
Is it really a band? Is this a joke I was supposed to understand?
311 is totally a band. They were like Jesus. Now I'm going to have to try and make sure I've got my number bands right. But I want to say they're like the Amber Was the Color of Her Energy band. Amber was the color of her energy. Oh. That it sort of weird, chill, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's been the Metafilter Music Hour. Well, that's a good job, 131. You brought it back. Like, we probably won't do the numbers every time, but like this one was that was a solid showing. 131 deserves a mention.
Yeah, that was my feeling.
And when we get to episode 311, we can just recycle this bit. So, let's talk about jobs briefly, because there were some interesting jobs, both as jobs and as just things
jobs
to talk
was
about.
Weirdly fascinating.
Yeah.
This month, and I don't even know exactly. Why? And I hope people found. I mean, the fact that we can see them means that they're not filled. Or
it means
don't
well. It
know?
Means that the person who put it up
didn't
close it out, which doesn't mean that they didn't get it filled. And they're one of the ones that I wanted to note sort of falls in the territory of I wonder if that happened. And that's the pick up 27 books and ship 12 of them to me post. Which
I didn't understand. I mean, I didn't even click it. But what? Tell me about
this. There's really not much more to it. This was a post saying, I need you to pick up 27 books from a school district auction, mail a specified 12 of them to me via UPS, and dispose of the rest. And the question in my mind naturally is, okay, what's the deal with those other 15 books that you need to go get them and get rid of them?
It's two sets of encyclopedias. It's got to be.
You think?
Yeah.
A 12 volume and a 15, they're like, I don't want the longer one.
I want
the slightly abridged version. You think that the bigger one's dumber? Like it's 12 tight volumes and then 15
like
sort of so-so ones?
It's Encyclopedia Britannica new edition, Encyclopedia Britannica old edition.
Oh, okay.
I want the old one. I don't want the new one. But they're bundling them together so that they get rid of 27 books, not 12, and then nobody takes the other 15.
Oh, okay. So the job lister here had to buy the full lot in order to get the 12 that they wanted, and they're just having the person chuck the other 15.
Or do whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does say dispose of, but I guess it doesn't say you must not continue to own these, so
right, just right, and never look at the other ones again. Leave them in the dumpster behind the. Well, that's in what, Georgia? And
yeah,
it needs to happen. It needed to have happened
like a week ago. So, so that it probably didn't happen, or maybe it did happen, and the poster just didn't come back and mark it. And either way, that's fine. Whatever. You know, you take what you can get. Jobs is sort of like a little bit of a crapshoot because it's not like a giant Fandango.com.
Well, and you can post your stuff to gigs on Craigslist also. Like, you just cover all your bases, right?
Yeah, exactly. So who knows if that happened? If there actually is a story there, malleable
please let
us know.
Yeah.
and if you got it taken care of, go ahead and mark it as, filled or whatever.
Yeah, it would be nice at some point to do, like, when you're doing a state of the site thing, which you're now going to do every January, you would. Don't you interrupt me. if we could include, like, stuff like how many jobs were filled and encourage people to, you know, do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, do sort of stat dump.
Yeah. I also, I like this digital library internship, obviously, because Villanova has a cool digital library.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole bunch of stuff. And this is a paid internship. M. Foyt is the contact there. And looks like it would be kind of cool if you like, you know, library stuff and you live near Villanova, Pennsylvania.
There's also This seems like a nice use for jobs if it works out. My mom needs a ride to the dentist for someone to wait for her and then, ride home, basically, on August 9th. So this hasn't happened yet. And this is in Palm Desert, California. And if you can help someone out with a ride to a dentist,
free lunch and money.
Yeah, go do it because, like, hey, it's not much of a gig, but it's a thing that is going to make a difference for someone, and it's kind of a good use for jobs as sort of like a community job thing. Like, this is the weird sort of fill-in stuff that, you know, it's probably a way to do this outside of Metafilter, like, you know,
well, but
hiring
you
someone.
You want to find somebody that you kind of knew. At least, you know, yeah. I mean, because that's the Metafilter value add, right? That there's a vouching that is happening by, there's a Metafilter person, you can read all their Ask Me's and Metafilter posts and see if there's somebody you want to put your mom in the car with, and, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, it's couch surfing for driving, if that, yeah.
I feel like I need to put up some jobs things, like, please haul away 50 dictionaries, no questions asked.
Please come get these Boston Globes.
I'll give you $20. Just take the dictionaries. Take them. My mother had, you know, she was an educational writer, and so she has tons of books, many of which are fascinating, but almost all of which are going to have to go. And the dictionaries are the biggest, literally, like, the largest in volume thing that I'm just like, man, once those are out the door, there will be slightly more space in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, maybe I'm just going to start abusing MeFi jobs. $20.
Go for 50, it.
For 50 dictionaries.
I think you should do it, and you should take note of your whole experience with it, and we can use that as feedback on job stuff.
Yeah, for your State of the State thing that you're going to do
exactly.
every January.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and I also have to give a shout out to Julie, Wrong Kind of Cheese. I think she's Wrong Kind of Cheese. Who also has given me a lot of local organizer assistance. Went
nice.
And looked up some people and talked to the local professional organizers about finding me someone local who can help me and my sister with this giant house full of stuff, because it's a real thing that you can pay people to do if you can hire people. And, you know, professional organizing is not just for I need to clean this house, but it's also I need to clean this house out or a whole bunch of other stuff. And there's people who specifically work with, like, ADD type people or hoarder type people or I have too many cats type people, only one of which probably applies in my case. But I was touched by how much assistance she gave me and how compassionate and useful her and the other local lady that she consulted with were. So shout out. Thank you. That was
Helpful. That's awesome. Julie's great. Like, we got to meet her along with a few other folks when Angela and I were out in Huntsville back in 2015 for her
nice.
Thing.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, I knew she was down south. I just knew she was farther away than I could meet. But
Yeah. We drove, I think maybe that was when we drove into Tennessee. It's all a blur. I don't know. Anyway, it was great.
Yeah.
Had a nice meetup.
But, like, GJ is a good person to call if you have questions about funereal stuff. Oh.
Yeah.
And he did us a solid, like, calling around to different funeral homes to just make sure they were all legit and how they worked and blah, 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 blah. Julie is also a good person to ping when you have questions about getting organized, getting rid of things, or, you know, my relative lives in a house that is, oh, my God. So, yeah.
Yeah. Helpful. Metafilter. We got people who know shit. It's great.
Yay. Yes.
I'll mention one other job, because this is sort of like a capital G gig, senior UX designer for a company doing VR stuff, and it's a remote position. So if you are UX-y and interested and familiar with, like, you know, VR and Unity or other, you know, 3D geometry stuff, this is totally a thing you should look into, because it sounds super fucking rad. Yes, buy snacks. Get your snacks.
Must have one VR project in your portfolio, so this isn't a completely entry-level, but it's a pretty entry-level.
Yeah,
so.
No. Wait, snacks, senior UX, it's all coming together.
What? No, you're snicks, thinking snucks.
Snicks, snucks. Oh, that's right. I'm always thinking of snucks.
There's user experience, and then there's experience.
You want to talk about projects?
Yeah. I guess you want to talk about.
No,
projects.
No, no. I was going to meta talk about projects and say that, like, I think I've got enough stuff lined up in tabs to hide the fact that I've been super distracted all month and not as prepared for Metafilter as usual.
Just don't tell people you're not prepared, Josh. No,
well, but the thing is, like, the thing I haven't been paying attention to beyond just approving posts, whereas usually I'm all about it, is projects. So, like, I'm suddenly realizing I have nothing marked except for Dan Hahn's, which is good enough because I'll just talk about that in every section of the site.
Oh, is that Dan Hahn's Metafilter thing that is
yes.
the best thing ever?
Yes.
I didn't even see it in projects. I saw it literally on Twitter and was like, I'm in love. And then I saw it in Meta Talk and was like, in love. And he uses the word library. So, completely amazing.
Well, I'll formally mention it, and that's the one project post I know I can mention is, yes, Dan Hahn has been doing some neural network goofiness, and he decided to turn that on some Ask Metafilter data. So we grabbed the title text from the InfoDump. We've got all the titles of Ask Me Questions up there. And he just trained it on that, and it's sort of the same spirit as Markov chains. We've talked about it a couple times on previous podcasts, I think. But basically, you take a source set of text, and you train a machine that sort of starts to recognize relationships or similarities in that text.
Right. These words go next to each other. These words don't, or whatever.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then it produces new sentences out of that. And he did that with Ask Me titles, and he got a bunch of new Ask Me titles, and it's wonderful, and there's a MetaTalk thread and a MetaFilter thread, and I just love the whole thing. And I'm going to try and work with him and get him some other data as well that's not as easily available but might be fun to train on, and we'll see what happens there.
Nice.
But I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, in my projects, one of the things that I liked was Adam Greenfield, who's been a MetaFilter user since the 14,000s, finally finished his book. And I don't mean finally, like finally, but finally, like it's done.
It's been a work in progress.
Radical Technologies, the Design of Everyday Life, talking about, you know, how a lot of the sort of new and like edge casey, they're not even edge casey really anymore, technologies kind of change the ways, you know, we live our lives and how things work with them and whatever. And the thing that's kind of cool about the project post is Saka Shot First, who is also like a longtime MetaFilter person, is clearly reading it and then posting to projects as they're reading it and just is excited about reading it, then starts reading it, then is really enjoying it, and then, you know, is maybe going to write an essay about it and just really likes the fact that Adam wrote this. And so they have a nice little back and forth in the comments, which is exceptionally good, in addition to congratulations, Adam, on publishing the book, because good for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I dug... I had forgotten about this until I saw it, and I was like, oh, it's sort of a goofy little thing, but I like goofy little things. User Snorta Sprocket enjoyed a tweet from Massiege, aka the pin board guy.
No, I know Massiege.
Well, yeah, I'm speaking to the listener. I'm trying to...
I'm right here, Josh.
anyway, made a tweet about, disemboweling Trump as a way to, discourage abusive behavior on a social network. And so Snorta Sprocket actually made something that just does that. It just takes the tweets and disembowels them. And I feel like disemboweling at this point, it used to be like a watchword on MetaFilter as an in-joke reference, and there's people who've been around longer who recognize it, but like it dates back to like 2008 was when it sort of had its heyday because some weirdness on Boing Boing at the time, and there was disemboweling was a practice they used at the time, which had been imported from Making Light, which at the time Boing Boing moderator Teresa Nielsen Hayden had used successfully on Making Light. And
how long did she work at Boing Boing? She had such a short tenure there.
Yeah, I don't even remember anymore.
It was such a big deal for MetaFilter.
Yeah.
I feel like we remember and maybe no one else really does.
That's the thing. It's like it's still potent to some extent in my mind, but at the same time, it's like, I realize this is old, dumb blog drama, essentially.
Old, dumb blog drama. I'm sure you do too, right?
Yeah, but so that leaves me wondering, like, does disemboweling have any sort of, like, punch for anybody who wasn't, like, around on MetaFilter in 2008, essentially? But,
I don't know.
So, throwing it out there. Tell us you're disemboweling. What the fuck are you talking about? Stories in the comments. see that? I'm promoting engagement. This is what podcasters do, apparently.
Yes.
Other project stuff? I'm glancing through real quick.
I don't think... It just occurred to me that the project that I was involved in, I don't think got posted to projects, but I got oh my God, this is going to be bad.
No, do it.
It's going to be one of those like, there's a thing, but I forgot it. So hang on. Two things that I was involved with, but that are not projects, but that if I had my wits about me, I would have posted to projects or encouraged people to post to projects was... Ernie Smith wrote a very long kind of love letter to Gopher. that talks about when Metafilter brought the Gopher server back, which to the best of my knowledge, it's still back. You and I are both interviewed for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a great freaking article. So even though Ernie didn't put it on projects, it should be there and everybody should read it because I think you'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, I'm just scrolling through my...
Oh, no, it's cool.
Scrolling through my tweets, I found a mouse in a map box in the woods.
I will quick mention a couple projects in the, hey, people on Metafilter also make little video games. That's odd. And one is Zero Lives has been working on a 8-bit pro wrestling RPG called Wrestler.
I like the name already.
Yeah, like the name kind of sells it, but I feel like you immediately know whether you're interested in that or not. And, you know, if you're not, maybe give it a go anyway because it's a goofy little indie game. Likewise, Breck... has released Secret Spaces, which is a sort of infinite wanderer through procedurally generated 3D space thing. And it's pretty rad, too, and you should go check that out. And that got written up on Rock Paper Shotgun recently, which is pretty rad as someone who's a big fan of Rock Paper Shotgun as a good games blog. So
nice!
So, yeah. Couple nice
Rock Paper
things,
Shotgun right? is one of those places, like, I hear it as sort of the destination for... other people, and I have never spent any time there, but I am, like, curious about, I don't know.
Yeah.
Curious about how that place works.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's, you know, a group blog publication about video games, and a lot of that's just sort of like, hey, here's a trailer for a new thing, or hey, here's some video game news if you're following this big video game. But then there's also, like, more interesting sort of thinking about stuff or talking about video game history and whatnot. I like it. It's a good,
nice.
It's a good group of people. The comments
nice.
Aren't universally terrible, which is great for
they
a video game site.
Good mods or good software,
they've got
a
reasonably good community. I think is most of it. I don't know how. I'd actually be curious to know to what extent they moderate.
What's their back end?
Like I can say. Well, they're running on WordPress. I can say for sure that they do not moderate as much as they should, in my opinion, as someone who has strong opinions about such things. But it manages to mostly not be a trash pile anyway. There's certain subjects when they come up, I'm like, the comments on here aren't going to be nearly as bad as they would be some places, but they're still going to kind of suck just because there's some hot point stuff and a lot of dinguses in the world. But all in all, better than average, and their actual writing that the people who work there write is great. So.
Nice.
Rock, Paper, Shotgun, apparently,
and
is what I'm
the only talking. Other thing I was going to mention, because Patrick O'Keefe does a podcast on community stuff, and he
has me
on as a guest occasionally. I think you were on. I know Matt's been on.
I have not been on yet, but we
you
talked
haven't
about
been
maybe
on?
Showing.
Oh, ooh. See? You should be on now. Like, this whole thing would be perfect.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe. But he did a thing. So Photobucket did that crazy bullshit, which probably there's a Metafilter post about this that we can link up with this. But Photobucket did this crazy thing where they're like, hey, our service that was now free and that you've used for hot linking images for the last 15 years now costs $40 a month. Sorry, not sorry. And then everybody's images just immediately broke. And so Patrick had me and another dude who does kind of internet copyright stuff on and talking about it. And because he does like a regular podcast, he doesn't put like, you know, I did a new episode up on projects every time. But because this has an overlap of me and community stuff and Photobucket and internet people, I thought people might be interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, I'm using the podcast as my own projects.
No, sure.
Like this is what I did this month, but it is what I did this month.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice podcast, you know, and there has been Metafilter content on it. So, the Photobucket thing is really interesting. I was not aware of it at all until I saw
a July 1st Metafilter post. So I'm putting in the chat.
Excellent. Yeah.
But only 69 comments, which, it says second post. Look how nice that is. How considerate. Oh, except I don't know where the freaking first post is. What is second post means it's current residence second post, not it's the second post about Photobucket.
Ah.
Wow. So there's only 69 comments? That is crazy.
Huh. Yeah, you know, I mean Photobucket's kind of weird. Like I would say it's like not even as engaging as Imgur, where you also have image hosting, but also
Imgur I think of as more a community because people comment, they interact with each other. like one of the points we made in the podcast is PhotoBucket almost didn't have a community and then created them one by pissing off all of these users at once. I mean, Flickr has kind of done that occasionally.
Yeah.
But yeah, just interesting. Interesting.
You catalyze group awareness by giving the group something to stand up and be like, what the fuck about? Should we talk about Metafilter?
Metafilter, yes.
You know, there was a post I liked about some project by some guy who did neural network stuff with Ask Metafilter titles. So that's Monochrome made a post about that.
So wait a second, they didn't promote this from projects. They just found it and thought it was good.
Yeah, I think they just did it.
Are you going to do the hat trick and link it to the talk thread also? Oh, he didn't put it in projects though, right?
He did put it in projects after the meta talk. I was telling him independently because he like DM'd me about it and was like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Like, I think that's perfect. I think you should make a projects post.
So it's the trifecta.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ask and or not ask. There's nothing about ask.
Yeah, but help, it's not the traditional trifecta, but it's a trifecta.
Help me get the mysterious library to my sister.
Yeah,
I like that everybody takes the library once.
Yeah. Do you want to just briefly read some of them aloud for anybody who hasn't actually looked at this yet? Because they, you know, how to break up with dishwasher, please.
How to compare trade contractors. What can I do to improve my internet in the U.S.? That's a completely normal one. A single-time car alarm clock is dead.
Are there any vegetarian foods in bed? That's like a fortune cookie thing.
What to do about, quote, work, unquote, and a, quote, feminist, unquote, and disaster, quote, unquote. There's a lot of quotes in there. Cheap beef wedding certificate. I don't want to look at my childhood.
Dental karaoke insurance.
How do I stop being dead for my dog?
How can I fix this man? Well, that's also just stock ask me. But my cat is in the magic lines.
Simple restaurant war computer school stories. The sun is still happy to me.
It's fantastic stuff.
Highlighting that one.
My computer is too much. Everybody
gotta sign into fucking Medium. Fuck. I hope they eventually wind up with a revenue model.
On slightly more substantial front, there was a very nice post. Obit post, but really sort of also, you know, a good Obit like sort of story of her life about Sheila Michaels, who passed away recently, who is the woman who sort of got Ms. into popular use. It had existed.
I did not see this, but cool.
Yeah. I think it had been sort of like, you know, a linguistic tick that someone had suggested and, you know, was documented prior to her push on it, but then she just sort
but
of like,
she was the one who was like, this should be a thing.
Yeah. And now it's like, it's just like, you know, water at this point. It's like, of course, well, that's just one of those things, you know? So yeah, that was, it's a cool read. I would recommend going and reading. It's, you know, sometimes an Obit post is more like, oh, hey, this person died and here's a post about it. And now we'll talk about it. But like, this is a case where like, no, go read the article.
Nice. Well, here's another post about a pretty terrific, woman. By Michelle? How do you pronounce?
I think she says it Michelle, but I'm not
positive. Michelle? Okay, it's basically about a woman who, 56 years old, got divorced, her daughter was in college, and decided to become a firefighter.
Nice. Yeah. I saw that in passing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a nice, very brief thread, but it also includes a bunch of other people saying, you know, hey, my dad became a volunteer firefighter at 53. Hey, there was a fire in my town. Hey, there's actually a picture of Sarah is disenchanted with her firefighting crew. She's a local firefighter, and it's a great picture. Super, super cute. So, yeah, it's a great, great thread. Very short. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
There is, on the video game front, a post about a game called Dream Daddy. And the post is actually sort of about some of the complicated aspects of it if you look close at it and try and pick apart how people feel about its treatment of, like, queer representation. Because it's a game about being a dad and you're dating other dads. And so it's like, from the get-go, it's not typical, like, essentially, you know, heterocentric dating sim. And dating sims are a huge thing that I have read about, but basically
I know nothing about the world of dating sims except that they're a huge thing in a world that does not overlap with my own.
Yeah, it's essentially, you know, a choose your own adventure, an overgrown choose your own adventure about dating. And generally there's a bunch of different potential datees and divergent plot lines for each of them, and each of those plot lines can resolve in a few different ways, and maybe they can intersect, you know, with different characters interacting with each other. And, you know, so it's like, it's about that. It's a text-driven game generally where you're sort of making decisions and trying to navigate one or another branch of potential relationships with people. And Dream Daddy just, like, has gotten a lot of people's attention because, for one thing, it is explicitly saying, hey, you know what? This is a game about being a dad dating a dad, and, you know, there you go. And also it seems to be actually just well written and well done. So it's a really neat thing. I've got it earmarked as I'm going to have to sit down and play it, but I follow a bunch of people on Twitter who've been playing it. So I've been getting a nice, like, big chunks of things they've enjoyed or thought were interesting about it.
Neat.
So yeah, check out Dream Daddy. Check out that post.
Maybe you can explain to me why I favorited your post. Like, I'm sure there was a reason, but now I can't remember what that reason was, and now I'm looking at the thread and I have no recollection. But
I
it's
think,
your post from July 2nd about the 100-person shooter Hunger Games post.
That.
It's a great post, and there's a whole bunch of interesting commentary, but it's not in my wheelhouse at all.
I saw your favorite, and I was like, oh, this must be one of those things where I'm talking about a video game and Jessamyn appreciates finding out something about a video game she heard about, sort of thing.
I don't even remember favoriting this. Like, I have no idea what is – maybe Jim favorited it using my computer, or maybe there was some comment. I mean, not that it wasn't a good post, because it was a good post and it's a great conversation, but I'm just trying to get back to –
Where'd the breadcrumb trail on this go? Yeah.
I'm sure there's something in here.
Yeah. Well, and it's a game I've been playing lately, and I've been enjoying it a great deal. So, I was basically looking for an excuse to make a post about it, and realized, oh, actually, there's actually a lot of pretty good excuses, because there's a bunch of fun video content, and the sort of story behind it's a little bit interesting. So.
Well, that's what it seems like. It seems like kind of a simple game with a very understandable mechanics, but there's a lot of thinky things to think about if you want to
It's a relatively simple framework, and a lot of people are playing it, so you're getting a lot of exploration of, like, what can be done with it, and a lot of people are streaming it and recording it and editing videos and whatnot, so there's a lot to digest. And it's a lot of fun to play. It's a specific kind of game. You know, you're creeping around trying not to get shot by other people's virtual guns and trying to
I can't do these at all. I like those, like, snowboarding games where you're you collect llamas and that's basically it.
Yeah. So this is not going to be not a game about shooting, which is a pretty much immediate no for plenty of people, and that's fine. But a lot of people who are into that sort of thing to begin with are enjoying it. It's very goofy. I've been playing it with my brother on the East Coast and voice chatting, and that's actually been really nice. And we haven't done that sort of thing in a while, so it's been as much as anything.
So do you voice chat through the game, or do you voice chat you're on, like, Skype or something like that?
Yeah, we use Discord as another chat and voice chat system, and we use that because that's what he uses with our other friends on the East Coast already for a lot of stuff, so I just jumped on that. But you can use the in-game, too. It's just you have to hear other people in the game, too, at that point, which is not always great because it's the internet, and there's a lot of dinguses who just learned cuss words for the first time. But we'll chat over basically like this, like Skyping and playing and laughing about everything that's going wrong. It's a nice time.
Nice. I feel remiss if I don't mention that Metafilter is now old enough to vote.
Yes. Yes, I guess that was since the last
podcast. Thanks to other posts by you. I'm done talking about you.
Okay.
You know, this has been like a Cortex month. But, like, you know, Why did you even make this post? Why didn't somebody else make this post? But at any rate.
I waited until I got up in the morning and I was like, okay, well, it's not happening. Fine, I'll do it. So I made it because it needed to be made.
And so catscan.com, I thought Matt owned that?
He does. I linked to the jokey, fake, old school CatScan that we set up as a subdirectory on CatScan after we bought it. So if you go to maincatscan.com, it is the memories.
Did you make this page?
Yeah. I made that in like a fevered half hour when we were getting ready to launch the newly branded CatScan.
Josh, yeah. This is beautiful. Look at all those little toe beans.
Yep. One of these years, I'm going to actually plan ahead enough to really, like, a month ahead of time push for people to scan their cats. Because I always remember the day before, I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, if you want.
You know, I use my phone to just remind me to do shit like that.
Yeah.
And, like, talk about it and forget about it.
Yeah, you would think. I was, you know, I was busy. Have I mentioned?
I've heard that. Meetings and as well you have a job.
Yeah. You can watch me go on a journey in the first couple comments of this thread, but I really liked this post from Omi Wise about Star Wars, but the lightsaber sound is Owen Wilson saying, wow. Which, if you know who Owen Wilson is and have seen...
And I do.
Yeah.
Not only do I know Owen Wilson, but like Melissa Villaseñor, who was like one of the new and underappreciated SNL people in the last year, does like this Owen Wilson impression that is amazing and has got Owen Wilson more on my, like, what's he up to than he would have been if he had just been doing his Owen Wilson thing.
Yeah. Well, it's just a whole bunch of lightsabers moving around and, you know, wow. You know, it's gorgeous. But
wow.
I had seen, I explained this in the comments that, like, oh, I thought this was okay. I mean, it was kind of roughly done, but I still enjoy it. And then I realized I hadn't clicked on the link yet, and this was a better one than the one I watched before.
Wait, you commented without reading the link in one
I
of
was
the first
so
comments
certain,
on the thread?
I was so certain it was the
Why
thing that I had
fired?
Seen. Because, come on, look, it's like, hey, here's a video of Owen Wilson saying wow instead of the lightsaber sounds in a lightsaber fight. Like, you, if you've seen that video, you know you saw that video. That's a very specific description of a video.
Right.
You know,
but
there's
wait,
not
so
going to
you,
be two of those.
So wait, you thought you were commenting on a thing you had seen.
Yes.
You just had not seen it.
It turns
I
out that there
it.
Were two of those. There was another Owen Wilson saying wow instead of the lightsaber sounds in the Star Wars lightsaber fight videos on the internet at the time. So, yes.
I get it.
And I was delighted. And I shouted a bunch. I also liked this post from WordShore about people's observations about things they do in games that they don't necessarily need to do, but it just feels like the right thing to do, like ethical behavior or thematically appropriate behavior. You know, people who change into comfortable clothes before they go to sleep instead of sleeping in their armor, making sure to pet their pet cat, you know, changing outfits periodically. Bunch of stuff. And it's one of those things where, like, the post is good. It's a nice roundup of stuff. But then the thread is great because it's everybody's like, oh, you know what I do? You know, so it's one of those fun sort of, oh, we didn't realize that everybody was ready to talk about this, but everybody was ready to talk about this.
Nice.
So it's a really fun read. And this is one of those things, it's like, it's about video games, but even if you don't give fuck all about video games, it's a really enjoyable, fun sort of community read. So I heartily recommend giving that thread a read.
Nice. And then, like, last one I wanted to mention, we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, July is for Amazing Posts contest, whatever the fuck it was called. And one of the ones that, like, I picked because I liked it, but it wasn't one of my picks because it was a lot of other people's picks. So you probably didn't miss this, but in case you missed it, Rangefinder 1.4's beautifully designed tiny houses for birds
is
not just a post about this cool, beautifully designed tiny houses for birds thing, but she talks a lot about the lady, Jada Fitch, who makes, and they're basically, it's like a birdhouse, but you stick it on a window and then you design the inside so it looks like a little apartment. Like, I did one of those. What are those things called where, like, you tried to do a thing like Pinterest? Oh, Pinterest fails. Like, I started out being like, I could totally do this. I would love this. And I got as far as, like, a cardboard box and a magic marker where I was like, this is shit. This is not going to work at all. So I appreciate Jada Fitch's much more. Like, a birdhouse you can kind of look into through your window, see what the birds are up to. And she's very, like, imaginative and interesting and whatever. And Rangefinder's post just includes a lot of other really interesting things about the woman and about her life, and as well as awesome pictures.
Yeah.
And I commented a couple times in this thread because there's a show called Peep Show, where Peep is P-I-I-P, which is a Norwegian, like, television show or YouTube show about birds that come into a thing that's one of these, but it's made to look like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so that's amazing. And I just love, you know, I'm a big bird feeder, bird house person. So this is just everything I liked, all in one. I love this post.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like I had one more I wanted to mention. Let me make sure I've actually got. Yeah, that's what's in my clipboard.
What's in your clipboard, Josh?
A post by Hippie Bear about oiling bowling lanes. And I knew nothing about this, and neither did several other people in the post. And a bunch of other people was like, oh, yeah, I knew about that, and blah, 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 blah. And apparently there is a pattern of oil deployed on well-maintained, at least, bowling lanes that actually affects the speed at which a ball will grip and turn if you put some English on it. Which is actually a big part of
why people put those crazy Englishes. I'm like watching this video now and not listening to you at all. So
yeah,
just
yeah,
keep
no.
talking.
It's, yeah. So like the way a ball spins, like if you ever watch, you know, a bowling ball go down the lane,
well, and
you'll
I
see
am
it
a bowler.
Sort of like,
I enjoy bowling.
Yeah. You'll see like, you know, a pro bowler who throws a ton of spin on it. It'll sort of like feels like it breaks later, like, you know, it spins,
right,
and
that
it sort
they
of
seem to like be going into the gutter and then hooks at the end.
Yeah,
and you're like, how
yeah,
do they do that?
Yeah, and you know, I always watch this and assume, well, it's because like we're watching down the lane, it's like watching a curveball thrown, like you're seeing a dramatic version of the curve because you've got this specific viewpoint. But no, actually part of it is that, you know, there's less oil farther down the lane, and so it can actually grip more, and it actually does start to curve more at the tail end.
And they take advantage of that because they know what they're doing, and
yeah.
you don't because you just found this out today.
Yeah, but different alleys will have different patterns that they use. You know, pro bowlers expect a certain thing on pro circuit that's different from what you might see at a more casual bowling alley, etc. So knowing what the oil pattern is something you can incorporate in your game. Knowing how the oil pattern changes over the course of the day as people keep bowling on it is a thing you can use to incorporate in your game. This is all like mind-blowing. Like, I had no idea. None of this was ever on my radar. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow, that's neat. And now I have to nerd the whole thing up by saying I am actually staying in Central Mass, home of Candlepin.
I've still never candlepinned. I should try it sometime.
I literally went to the post office. So, like, the town I grew up in has a zip code but not a post office. It briefly had a post office in old times. And then it briefly had a post office inside the liquor store, which I guess you just kind of knew about. But
sure.
Then it didn't. And so my mother, who basically has 25 of everything, doesn't have a damn postage stamp in this house, which just means I lost them, right? But I had to mail a letter. Oh, and I sent Griffiths, I sent you a postcard, because I found a postcard of a person with a mustache who looks a little like Griffiths. So I sent him a postcard. And looking for stamps, and I couldn't find them, so I had to go to the post office to buy a stamp, which offends me, as you might expect, because there should be 6,000 stamps in the house. So I had to go to Harvard, Massachusetts, which is the next town from where I am. And on my way to the post office, not only did I go to a spectacular library, but I also passed a Candlepin bowling lane, which is like right super close, that also has an arcade. So Candlepin is like, when I grew up, that was the only kind of bowling I knew existed. Like, you watch bowling on TV, and it was candlepin bowling. You went
yeah.
to the bowling alley, it was candlepin bowling.
Yeah.
And then I moved to college, and suddenly candlepin isn't a thing anymore. That's not how people bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't learn what we call big ball bowling until later.
See, and yeah, it was the exact opposite for me. I went to school in Central Massachusetts after growing
right.
up on the East Coast, and like everybody's like bowling, and then they were talking about candlepin. I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
That's right. How is that? What? What? Yeah,
everything
exactly.
about this is wrong. Literally everything. No wonder you get three throws. It's terrible. What are you? You know, and
well,
I'm saying this
hard.
In abstract because I've never played, which is
well,
so dumb.
It's much harder to do a perfect game.
Yeah.
The pins are smaller. I mean, narrower. And the balls are tiny. You get three balls instead of two. And, yeah, I haven't done it in a while because, I mean, I like to bowl, but almost everywhere else I am, including Vermont, it's regular big ball bowling. But I think Jim and I are going to go try it out. I'll take some photographs.
Yeah, do so. Yeah. Next time I get out in the vicinity of Massachusetts, we should see if we can coordinate a candle pin outing.
I would like that very much. Where does your brother live? Like Somerville area? Something like that?
Something like that? You know, the entire state of Massachusetts is the greater Boston area, as far as I can tell. So, you think greater Boston area.
Well, there's the Berkshires, which is over where Language Hat lives, and he doesn't live
That's the other state, I guess.
And Songdog and
I guess crap. By the time you're to Worcester, maybe it's not really the Boston area anymore.
Well, I told
entirely.
You, right? When I used to grow up.
It's like an Ask Me title.
The radio station would be WAF, Worcester, Boston. And I didn't know any geography, so I assumed Worcester was like Cambridge. I may talk about this every podcast.
Possibly. It's fun to revisit. Should we talk about Ask Metafilter?
Yeah. I have a whole bunch of various things about butts and bathrooms.
Yes.
So, silent farting.
That's the big one.
By Sciatrics. 26 comments, 19 favorites. I'm pretty good at farting without making any noise. I'm reading this. I'm no good at this. But I hear this is not a skill that everyone possesses. And then some techniques about... I'm not even getting into it. Can other people do this? And so there's interesting commentary about how that works, as well as my old buddy Gene Hack. Please don't delete his comment, even though it's not on topic.
I saw a couple things that I just decided to let go. I was like, okay, that'll stay.
So silent farting, yes or no? But then there's this thread from today. In fact, literally from. 8 minutes after we started talking, I was clicking around the website, but like you're in the bathroom doing your thing. The door is locked, which means you're not at my childhood home because none of our bathroom doors locked. And somebody knocks. What are you supposed to say? I mean, it's one of those great kind of like nerd etiquette questions, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there an answer that everyone expects? Like every time I say a thing, I feel like an idiot, but like, what are you supposed to say? Hi, yep. I'm in here. Occupied.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying occupied, and I think like to the extent that it feels like that there is a standard answer, I guess occupied is maybe it, but it's so arbitrary. It's just like you could literally just like emit a wordless moan, and they'd be like, "Oh, okay, yeah, no problem." You know, it's like you
kick the door.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pooping. That's Boncliffe's suggestion. Yeah, I'm usually like, "Hello." Because why not? But, you know, I'm so often in like, you know, randomly, is this bathroom door locked at all? Because like if you're a dude and somebody walks in, they just see your back most of the time, right? But if you're a lady, you're just like sitting there like, hey. So, I don't know. I have thought about this. I was pretty interested in this question. By Dream Phone, by the way.
Yeah, I actually had it in a tab open already as well because one person had flagged it. And I can sort of feel that, well, maybe it's just a little bit chatty, you know, experimental flag. But I think I'm saying, nah, we're going with this. This is fine.
Nah.
A very, very niche-specific one from a few days ago from Kay O'Mara.
Wait a second. Not Kamara?
Kay O'Mara. His name is...
I know that's his name, but I think like his username time. Is Kamara.
Well, it's Kevin O'Mara. It's Kay O'Mara, whatever. I think we may have even literally asked him to explain this last podcast, and he may have actually answered in the comments, and I don't remember what happened. So we'll just do it every podcast from now on. We're going to do the Kay O'Mara dance.
And talk about the Worcester-Boston thing. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So he wants to know where in New York, preferably Manhattan, he could buy some cheap synthetic resin teeth, cheaper than the $11 that they sell on Amazon. So we're talking cheap. So if you know a good source in the like New York City area for cheap synthetic resin teeth, especially if it's molar heavy, get at it. There's nothing else to say about this question. That's the entire content of it. But there you go. Someone out there with a line on cheap synthetic resin teeth. Hook KMR up.
Wow. I would pay $8.
Yeah.
Nothing but molars. You know, there's probably a ton of us who just have drawers of actual teeth. But like baby teeth, I'm sure somewhere in a drawer in this house, there are my baby teeth. And I do not need or want them anymore. Kamara, would you take actual teeth? I assume he's got a project.
I'll tell you what, I'll just ask him on a pretext for his booth. Hey, I wanted to send you a postcard, and then I'll just we'll work it out that you instead send him teeth.
Instead, I'll send you Jessamine's teeth.
No, it's not weird. They're actual human teeth. It's fine. It's
super normal.
Yeah. No, they're my friends from their childhood. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's my friend's baby teeth. Well, yeah. That's like the funny joke, right? Because that's like one of those like skeleton jokes, right? Where they're like, here's the skeleton of this famous guy, and then here's the skeleton of this famous guy as a child. You know? Like, ha ha ha. But like, you can do that with teeth.
Yep.
Here's my teeth. Here's my teeth when I was a child.
There's a couple of editions released recently. Yeah. Similarly, you should see my chronological catalog of my fingernails.
All right, Howard Hughes.
that was a little bit David Letterman left.
What a month! Are you going to grow a beard now?
Nah. Well, I mean, you know, I've had a you know short, varyingly you know
you
quite
know
short
I mean.
Beard. Yeah. No, I think it would be very difficult for me to like grow a beard. Like, I don't feel like I don't think it would get that long. Like, nice. It would get real scraggly after, like, a year, but still only be, like, 3 inches long.
Yeah.
So, I went a little bit...
wouldn't like it.
Yeah. I went a little bit fuller for some of the last few months, and then I decided, you know...
What was that word?
Hmm?
What was that word?
What did I say?
I went a little bit...
Did I say,
fuller?
Like... probably fuller. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like, you know, growing it out a little
you
bit.
You said like fuller, turn. And I was like, is that like follicle? Okay.
Yeah. No, I let it get a little bit longer, and then I've decided, I don't really like it longer, so I'm keeping it pretty close now. That's been beard talk. other ask me.
I liked this question about accessible elevators. So, hey, there's banks of elevators. One of them is an accessible elevator, which I assume means the buttons are reachable by different height people in wheelchairs, whatever. But if you can't choose which elevator to call, how do you get the accessible elevator?
Yeah.
By literary hero. Like, I'm just curious. And there's a couple different, like, answers. Like some places have a button. Some places give people who have wheelchairs a key fob. Infrared stuff. Kind of depends. But I was interested. It was one of those things I just had no idea, and it was interesting to read the answers.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where if it doesn't affect you, you might not even be aware of it, even though obviously it's super important for there actually be an answer for the people it does affect. And which is the
right. Well, and especially if you're in a giant building, right?
Yeah.
You can't just play roulette with the elevators forever. And I always feel in a building with a lot of elevators, there's usually only one or two that are working half the time anyhow. Not that the others are broken, but they did just never show up.
Yeah. Would anyone want some shoes from 1909?
Oh, I love this question.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Ms. Danny B. Ms. Boom. There we go. Callback. Is pulling insulation out of the attic in her house or I'm assuming her. I'm just going with gender assumptions. Found some shoes in old insulation in
She's
the house.
She's a lady.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Checked her profile.
I mean, not good, but yay. it's real warm in
just
Portland.
Keep
Have
walking.
I mentioned that?
Keep walking.
Yeah, I'm just gonna walk away from that. But yeah, got some answers. Follow up comment.
I made a post about the concealed shoe lady on Metafilter a while ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's actually a thing. Pretty interesting. At the very end of June, so it was probably in the last podcast.
Ah.
Very interesting thread from a nurse, Painter Picasso, who always is asking fascinating questions at Ask Metafilter. She's just got a really interesting set of questions about her life that I'm always really interested in.
Yeah.
But she works in an ER. She's an RN. Lots of people ask, hey, am I going to die? And she wants to give an answer that is useful, but not kind of lying.
Yeah.
But... you know, the doctor's, you know, what if the doctor's not there and somebody asks? You can't be like, it's good to have answers. And so there's a whole bunch of nurses that have different feedback, people who've been patients who talk about this, links to other thread forums. I mean, obviously there's no obvious answer, but it was just neat listening to different people talk about this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a thing. I mean, shit, like, it's the most natural thing in the world for someone to want to ask, but also, like, how do you navigate that is, yeah, good question.
Yeah, and, you know, different people want different things. Like, through reading the thread, it's really interesting. Some people want to be reassured that they're not dying. Some people want you to lighten the mood or would appreciate that. Other people are like, don't you dare lighten the mood. Like, you know, people have different feelings about what they would want in that situation.
Yeah.
And that's interesting in and of itself. Hey, people are different.
Yeah.
We, you know, we spent a little bit of time in hospice this past month, and it was amazing how not reassured we were by the chaplain, who, I mean, she's supposed to be kind of an all-denominational whatever the fuck, right? But just whatever clearly works for other people, which was her thing, really didn't help us. You know, I mean, and we were okay. Like, my sister and I get along well. We're supportive. We were on board with stuff with my mom. Like, everything was fine. But the chaplain literally has, like, gotten under our skin to the point where, like, we say her name and we both just start laughing and, like, shaking our fist at the sky, right? Because she was clearly trying to do a thing that was not working for us and then doubling down on that thing because maybe she was not trying hard enough, you know, to be kind of supportive and to talk about my mom in a certain way. And it was clear that that mostly worked for most people. And it was also clear to us that we were not most people and what we wanted was her to stop and go away. And it's awkward, right? Because for some people, the way that they respond to grief is by kind of, you know, pushing away when they really want you to just try harder to connect.
Yeah.
So we got stuck in this awkward dance.
Yeah.
Where what I wanted to be was like, you're doing a great job, but you need to go away right now. And whatever, eventually she did. But like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
I know how hard it is to like really want to do the right thing. But the fact that the world of people is different means that there isn't always like a right thing. Although I think saying hi-o when you're in the bathroom with the door locked is probably the you know, the right answer there.
Yeah.
Hi-o.
Kermit the Frog. No, wait. That's probably going too far.
Oh. God, your jokes are so popular.
It's a bit, you know, it's, I am
this month.
Any other ask me?
Just one.
All right.
I enjoyed this one because it was interesting. It was by Mrs. Pterodactyl. Mrs. Pterodactyl, who, checking pronouns, female, grew up with a kid in her class who brought in a sword that the kid said belonged to a famous person, Robert Gould Shaw. But it looks like the sword actually was a Civil War guy. But she's like, but the sword looks like it was given to somebody else. So this kid wouldn't have had it, but maybe they did. Or how would this have worked? Can you help me figure out if the sword that I looked at from the kid when I was in elementary school is the same sword?
Yeah.
And actually, you know, there's kind of an answer to how that worked and where it was and blah, blah, blah. Fascinating. So interesting. Just an interesting question, an interesting thread.
Yeah.
I'm
like
gonna,
it's like that G.R.R. Martin novel, A Ask of Swords. You're going to what?
You're going to what now? Well, I'm now that I can ask two Ask Metafilter questions a week, did we announce that last month?
I think that was about a month ago, maybe 2 months.
Is it okay to say it out loud? I just
oh yeah, no. It's totally it's official policy.
Now I want to ask all sorts of dumb questions. Like, I like this snowboarding llama game for the Apple TV. Help me find other games that I would.
That's
like
a great that question.
That are just like that'll put me to sleep with like a nice song in the back of my head, and I don't have to shoot anybody, and no one dies.
That is an excellent question. You should totally freewheelingly just post it without worrying about the consequences.
What kind of consequences?
I don't know. Like, you wouldn't have your question for the week.
I hadn't thought about consequences until you brought it up.
That was part of the whole point, is to get away from the question. People would not ask because they'd be worried, well, but what if
well,
I just
I have
ask a
secret,
real question? You know?
A secret. Which is that as a former moderator, I can ask as many goddamn questions as I want to.
Well, yeah, and I can do the same thing.
Take that away from me.
But, like, so, you know, I still try not to ever do it anywhere other than MetaTalk because...
And we
have that power not because we are power mad moderators. We have it because we have to do things like test posts. And if I have to do a test post and then I can't do another one for 24 hours or a week, obviously that's not a good way to debug stuff.
Awkward. Right.
But I try and be real good about, like, even when I'm excited about multiple things I want to post on the front page, I try and make sure I space them out, like, upwards of 24 hours and so on.
Well, but that was never my thing. Like, I appreciate that other people, you know, would be concerned about, maybe I'll have another question. I was never worried. I never asked that many questions.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it's one of those things that varied a lot from person to person.
I have a model of Ask Metafilter in my brain, and I'm pretty sure I know what Ask Metafilter is going to say about most things, like relationship-y things or that kind of stuff. But, like, I don't know any other good games.
Yeah.
You know, this crowd is made for it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, totally do it to it. At some point we'll sit down and, like, do a review of whatever incremental changes we've seen in asking frequency and whatnot, maybe a little bit later this year when things aren't quite as busy.
Set an alarm on your phone so you remember.
That's a good idea.
I've
heard about that. But yeah, it's been going well. We've discovered a number of weird little, like, edge cases and bugs and bits of old code that just hadn't been activated in years because of the week limit. Someone was having trouble asking a question.
The double post alerter or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the you've asked an extra question. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So stuff like that needs tweaking. We found out someone was having trouble asking a second question even though they were apparently totally in the clear. And we found out that there had, like, years and years ago, I think Matt had written some code that prevented you from asking two inside of 24 hours, just as, like, a first no flooding limit, probably in the very early days. Then we had the week limit, so that never came up in the ensuing, whatever, 10 years. And now recently a couple people have run into it. We finally figured out that's what it was. Frimble was looking around, and they figured out, it's this. And so I think
that must be a fascinating, like, bizarre code review crazy thing.
Yeah, it has to have just been buried there for a decade, essentially. So, fun little stuff there. But yeah, we'll revisit that. And at this point, I'm feeling very comfortable with it, just like being like, this is how it is, period. There were no disasters. Everything's fine. Two a week is the way to go. So, spoilers, that'll be policy at some point.
What?
Well, just because, like, we were experimenting. Like, we definitely rolled it out initially.
It's
sort of like, let's see.
And it appears
but
to be working.
Yeah,
I
think it's just going to be, you know, definitely for keeps.
Nice. Good. I'm really glad that worked out. I was one of the people who was cautiously concerned about it, so I'm happy it's going to be a non-thing.
You know, I went in with, like, that a little bit of caution. Like, I felt pretty likely it was going to be fine. But still, I was like, you never quite know, so we got to try
it out.
Well,
and I noticed kind of on the back end, you guys have done a good job with the people who are kind of like, my relationship, let me talk about it you know.
Yeah.
Like, let me talk about it a little too often, asking kind of the same question over and over again.
Yeah, and that's really that's its own
non-thing.
Person-specific issue. That's not like a rate limiting, because someone who does that once a week is already kind of, that's a problem. In my effort to mention more subsites, I was talking with the secretary this morning about podcast stuff, and figured I'd mention some IRL stuff.
Great.
First of which is that we had another ping pong meetup in Portland recently. It was a lot of fun. Just a
color few of me surprised
getting together and playing some ping pong. Also there is in Chicago coming up. Also, go play ping pong. It's fun. But in Chicago, there is an upcoming meetup end of this month, the Barbecue, which is an event that happens in Chicago where they basically provide food and clothing and haircuts to people who need them.
Hey!
And so several of our Chicago Mephites, who are among the best darn Mephites, man, Chicago, I wish I could get out there more often.
Seriously, I was there last year, and boy, they showed us a very good time.
Yeah. No, they know how to party. Eamon's a great sort of host and tour guide and source of energy. And yeah, bunch of rad people. And hey, people, you rad. Eamon's bringing the karaoke rig, so there will be karaoke at the barbecue. So yeah, if you're in the Chicago area, maybe go by and hang out and help out and whatnot.
Nice.
But yeah, IRL. It's good. Use IRL. Meetups. Throw them. Go to them. They're fun. I like it.
I'm also going to mention, you know, a little bit of nepotism or whatever the hell you call it.
Yes.
My man not on display and his friend Other Jim, who, again, they have the same date, month, year, birthday, and first and middle name. And they got together and did a sort of satire takeoff on the WKRP in Cincinnati song.
Yes, this is, as you say in the thread, adorable. It's I think I'll just end the podcast, let the whole thing run, since it's like 50 seconds long or something.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. That was very cute. There's also a couple other music things. There is a very nice pile of fiddle music from Hades, Camp Meeting on the 4th of July, and it's
Meeting. That is actually a word I was trying to remember yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was trying to explain, oh, that's where the old camp meeting was, but I couldn't. I was like, the old Methodist, the old freaking camping, the old. Nice. This is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's a neat tuning. I'm saying he, but Hades.
Why
they,
don't you just click the link?
Yes,
click
he. Well, link. I know. I just never planned. Yes. Josh. Hey, fellow Josh. Anyway.
He owns the domain elsewhere.org. Nice.
That's solid. Anyway, he talks about the tuning for this, which is DDAD is the notes on the strings, which is not standard fiddle tuning. And it allows it to have this like just droning D note throughout, which is just, it's a fantastic textural thing. It's like, it just sounds different. You know, it's, bagpipes uses a drone, as part of the characteristic sound. And this doesn't sound like bagpipes exactly, but like, you know, it has a similar sort of like, you have this continuity just underlying a piece of music. That's a really cool little detail. So, that's real nice. I liked it.
That's good. I love that type of music, and I am going to enjoy listening to this.
Yeah. And then there was the Coug did a slow finger style take on some Elvis, starting off with Can't Help Falling in Love, which is such a pretty song to cover. I did a cover of it a few years ago, I think. It's real nice stuff. The Coug is playing real nice. The whole thing sounds beautiful. It's just some really Spartan setup with a Telecaster through some effects, and yeah, it's great.
Super.
And, that's the Music Minute. It's a little bit shorter than it might otherwise be, but that's
it's
where
fine.
We are. That's
don't apologize.
Are. I will also mention
good?
Fanfare
oh,
formally.
Oh.
Just to mention it, I haven't been spending any time on Fanfare this month, but people are because, among other things, it's Game of Thrones season, which is basically
I like that I can read the Fanfare threads and not have to watch the show or even think about watching the show at all.
It's not a bad compromise to run with. Game of Thrones discussion, very active as it always is every year. But a bunch of other stuff going on too.
Well, and did I tell you in Fanfare that like Jim and I just saw Get Out? Did I mention this last month?
I think you did.
Okay. And I just, it was fun to find a Fanfare thread from February.
Yeah.
And get to read about it because it was interesting to read what people had to say.
Yeah.
So the only other major thing I wanted to talk about was thank you to Eyebrows McGee and everybody else who contributed to the Best Post contest for July. If you just want the high points and you're sick of Josh and me talking about libraries and video games, you can find all sorts of other best posts, category posts, member category posts, random stuff people just wanted to throw in the thread, and it's just really cool. Thank you, Eyebrows McGee. Thank you, all the mods who made their own contests. Thank you for people who offered up prizes. Thank you, Hippie Bear, Hat Hoop. Contributed a whole bunch of stuff. Rangefinder had a really sort of mega post of stuff that she liked in there. The whole thing was just lovely.
Yeah, there was a tremendous amount of good stuff. I am still way behind on it. I did art as my category. But there was a tremendous amount of stuff just browsing through everything tagged art this last month. It's like, it's a nice reminder.
Is that what you chose?
I was busy. I couldn't get more specific. I should have.
Dude, art is like one of the most commonly used tags. That's
I know. I set myself up.
Politics would have been
No.
But I do have to say, I've been seeing your still lifes on Instagram, and they're lovely. I like that lemon picture.
Thanks. Yeah, I was really happy with how that came out. I went and took a class, and that's not something I normally do, and I'm glad I did. So
neat.
But yeah, I'll get my picks on art in the thread finally today at some point. But a ton of good stuff. A bunch of really
today.
Good stuff.
Today. So by today, you mean today?
Yeah, like this afternoon.
Server time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Server time. Yeah, today server time. That's maybe our title.
Today, server time.
Yes.
Today, server time.
Like the opening of an action movie. A couple other MetaTalk things. Oh, there's a holiday movie club is sort of an annual tradition at this point that's spinning up sort of MetaTalk and fanfare, I suppose. But yeah, the Meta Twists and Turns posted a post to start organizing. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, here you go. There's a thing. They've got a calendar and everything. And you know,
yeah, I
out.
Saw that. That looked like it was going to be cool.
Yep. I guess in the MetaTalk section for completionism, I will post links to both the announcement thread and the fundraising thread, since we did two separate threads that sort of let them be their own discussions about the whole transfer of ownership and whatnot. And there was one other thing on MetaTalk, and I can't remember what it is, and I lost the tab. I killed it. Oh.
Yeah,
I know. Well, there's been some fun MetaTalk tale stuff anyway. That continues to go on. The most recent one was favorite words, which I am looking forward to going through because I like how people relate to words that they get sort of caught up on. Dang it, I'm copying the wrong things. I can't talk and chew gum.
Stickers.
At the
time. Are you going to talk about how you're going to send stickers?
Stickers.
Out?
So here's the deal. Matt was going through some boxes and he found like 30 old like Metafilter transfer stickers that he had just sitting around that he had printed off years ago, and he dropped them by the house. And I made a post on Twitter about the change of ownership, and I took a picture of those because that seemed like a good thematic thing to throw there. And then a lot of people were like, oh, my stickers, huh? And I was like, oh, shit, I was just trying to be thematic. But as a result, I know I wasn't really thinking it through, but it worked out fine. What I did, I ended up collecting addresses from people via MFI mail and sent stickers out to various staffer and pro staffer, so you've got one on the way to you. And
hey! Did you send it to one of my actual addresses and not where Matt sent my last paycheck?
Yeah, I think I did it to the PO.
Nice.
And yeah, so I went through all of them pretty quickly. So there's no more stickers for the moment, but I'm definitely, we're going to make some more stickers because gosh darn it, people are excited about stickers and I'm excited about people being excited about stickers. And so yeah, getting some merch going is part of what we want to do. And we talked about that a bunch in MetaTalk actually last month. So yeah, I'm excited about that stuff. I'm excited about stuff. It's been a busy, complicated couple of months, but I'm real happy about things where they are, and dang it, I'm just happy about Metafilter. I'm glad this is such a part of my life. So
great. I hope this next month is more chill for you than the past month, and please wish me the same.
Amen. we will take a blood oath on it. Can we cut our thumbs and push them together over Skype? Does it have that functionality yet? Is there blood
over
IP?
There's got to be some functional equivalent, right? I can send you some password to something. There should be like a blood oath swear dot whatever, where there's like a little circle on the screen and you cut your thumb and you push it up against it and then it takes a picture of something.
Well, I'm thinking like maybe USB dongles. Like you just send a little USB device that just plugs into a port and it's got a tiny blade and you stick your thumb down on it and then it like verifies, you know?
How smart are you?
Yeah. No, this would be great.
Man,
I'm going to jail for a very long time probably.
I found a USB dongle shaped like a roll of film in my mom's drawer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not even, it's still in its original wrapping.
You should check inside to make sure it doesn't actually secretly have like the film of the JFK assassination hidden inside it, because that'd be the perfect place to hide it. No one would look inside.
Really
the novelty.
Interesting note. There's actually a stack of photographs of a young JFK in this house.
Really?
Because my mother was predeceased by a really good friend of hers years ago, 10 years ago, who was a photography collector and had a bunch of, you know, photos of JFK before he ran for senator.
Yeah.
As like a child, basically. But they're like print photographs. We gave some of them to the JFK library, which is in Boston, and the rest of them are here. So if anybody's like super into JFK, you know where to find me.
Huh. Neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm just going to have like some giveaway website because I've got like a ton of stamps and a ton of stuff. So I should be able to make use of some of that somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what we'll find.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing what else gets unearthed and distributed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for a podcast. I think we did the thing we showed up here to do.
I think that worked out really well. It's great to talk to you. It's good to hear you in good spirits.
Yeah, and, likewise.
Yeah, I look forward to listening to this podcast all over again after it's done.
Yeah. You weirdo.
Like you do. Like I do.
Who does that? Who reviews their own work? Ever.
I do that.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Josh. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Baby, if you ever wonder whatever became of me, I'm living on the threads of Metafilter. Metafilter, Metatalk, and Ask Me. Got tired of barking, digging for chance. Side to side, collecting cookie files. Maybe you and me are best on IRC. But maybe send me an email once in a while. I'm on www.metafilter.com.